Sports Talk with Joe Smith is proud to present Behind the Scenes with IU Vice President and Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, brought to you by IU Athletics. Come on back home again to Indiana. It's a whole new ballgame. Buy tickets now at IUHoosiers.com. Now, from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, here's Joe Smith and Fred Glass.
Well, finally warmer weather. March Madness ready to dial itself up. Spring's in the air and a swing into spring tonight with IU Vice President, Director of Athletics Fred Glass as we go behind the scenes. Big Ten basketball tournament unfolding for Coach Tom Crean's Hoosiers in Chicago on Thursday night. Little NCAA track and field indoor action this weekend down in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And a little bit later, our 2015 Big Ten champion in the 800 meters, sophomore Trey Tez Kinnaird, joins us along with women's school record holder in the pole vault, a junior, Sophie Gudermuth, plus head coach Ron Helmer, before they head on down south, reliving this past winter season and glancing ahead to the Nationals and the finals this weekend. Behind the scenes with Fred Glass in our Fred Glass honor roll and our employee spotlight, and a little Hoosier track and field, our spotlight focus, as we welcome you to Sports Talk here on a Tuesday night. We're live from Yogi's along with our producer, Rob Humphrey, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, and site producers Joanna and Mike Glasscott, all of our sponsors, including the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics at Indiana U. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith, baseball team Fred winning top of the seventh, 4-0 out at the BART. We are 10 days in, but you know, March is such a great month, an exciting month, and a quick month, but it's here, and well, the best hopefully is yet to come.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. It's, you know, it is a great time, and it's sort of just the smell of the campus reminds me of, just takes me back to being a student, you know, and the snow starts to clear and the weather's picking up, and instead of the 10s and 20s, it's the 50s and 60s, and it's a great feeling. I know the kids are getting ready to go on spring break, and then it's a sprint run to the end, so it's a fun time of year.
Well, you know, we got slammed. Our winter consisted basically of 3.5 weeks, and we got slammed pretty good, but onward and upward we move. As we mentioned, it's an exciting month, and the basketball Hoosiers with a little slippage, but you know, it is the postseason. I don't care if it's the Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament, you know, the old proverbial 0-0, it's a new season, and I know the guys are chomping at the bit to get going again against Northwestern on Thursday.
Yeah, they are. It's a great opportunity to get another shot at Northwestern. Go heading up to Chicago. I think the guys are really, really excited. They're really, really together. It does wipe the slate a little clean, and I think they're excited to show what they can do here, and I'm excited to go up and be with them.
Well, I know that we haven't been together, Fred, since January, because we've been out following and traveling with the Hoosiers, as I think everyone knows, but yet too, over the course of the last 7 to 10 days, I mean, you had to do what you have to do to deal with some of the negativity that has fallen between the cracks, so to speak, and has fallen on the basketball, not the kids so much, but Coach Tom Crean, as you've been out rather strongly defending Tom Crean.
Yeah, there was,
and that's too bad. But
yeah,
just part of it, I guess.
There was just so much silly stuff out there, Joe. You know, I felt like I needed to say something, and I did. You know, I think a lot of times athletic directors are like referees and offensive linemen. They're best. They're doing their job best when nobody notices
yeah.
them. And so, I'd rather kind of be behind the scenes, as it were. But I did think I needed to step out, because the idea that, you know, his job depended on a single game is just ridiculous. And I've always thought that was silly when people talk about that with the NFL or the college basketball or whatever. And I think the silliness of it was really brought home in the outcome of that game, right? Because whether the ball rolls in on Yogi's
right.
free throw or rolls out, is that really going to determine the tenure of a guy who's been here 6 years and has such a broad body of work? So, yeah, it was unfortunate that it was necessary, but I did think it was necessary, and hopefully that laid some of that to rest so that people can just take care of business.
You know, the longer I'm in it, the negativity, though, it just and the way social media is, I just shake my head. It's disgusting to me, you know. So I, you know, but we move on and. Take care of business with Northwestern, and hopefully we'll have a long stay up in Chicago. We ought to have good fans, good loyal fans, as was the case when we were up there at their home game at Welch Ryan Arena. Before we leave basketball, you know, he did miss the free throw, but hey, that guy means so much to Indiana University. He's the heart and soul. He's the nuts and bolts. And Yogi Ferrell, what a nice honor. The first team since Cody and Victor. First team both ways, media and coaches. First team all Big Ten, Yogi Ferrell.
Yeah, absolutely, and obviously very, very well deserved. And I think I speak for all of Hoosier Nation when I say that there's nobody I would rather have on that free throw line at that point in the game than Yogi. The guy's a tough competitor, and you know, sometimes it rolls the other way, and obviously, or maybe not so obviously, but I think certainly we're not in a position to win that game without him. So, and the good news is everybody wrapped their arms around him, literally and figuratively. His teammates did, which was cool to see. The fans gave the whole team, including Yogi, a standing ovation as they ran off the court, which was great. And that reminds me, Joe, I should really mention, for what it's worth, I am so proud of that crowd when we played Michigan State at Assembly Hall, because it was a great turnout. The balconies were largely full.
Yep.
Even when we dropped down to whatever it was, you know, 12 points or something with 3 minutes left, you know, there weren't a lot of people rushing to the exits. There were a couple, but not many. People stayed. They cheered. They picked them up. They helped with the defensive stops. They brought energy, and then they stayed and applauded that team running off the floor. And that team deserves it. And I think you know, social media over amplifies the people that are against, right? Because the people that are against are always the ones that are going to be the loudest. But I think that crowd, regardless of where they may or may not be with regard to Tom, I think most people are actually positive about that. Those kids have Indiana across their chest, and it was kind of neat that the 75 seniors, I think, helped remind all of us about that, and starting with John Campster and all the guys talking about the importance of supporting this team, and that seemed to take root with the crowd, and I was really, really, really pleased and appreciative and proud of the crowd and the support that they provided.
And I'm kind of glad it was done at halftime, and where the message was received. John Laskowski and Steve Green being the other two, and Doug Allen couldn't get back from Phoenix, where he now resides, but that was certainly a class act, and having those jerseys encased, their jersey numbers encased in what was certainly, as Bob Knight always said, was the best team he ever coached. Yep. So that was a class act. You know, before we leave,
don't forget Dr. Steve Offer.
And forgot Steve. I thought I mentioned him, but yeah. Steve, he's been an integral part still with the basketball program as one of our team doctors, no question about it. Hey, you know, before the first of all, we'll talk about Terry Morin and the job she did this season for Indiana. They beat Penn State, of course, in the tournament before falling to Rutgers. And my gosh, that was a tough Eastern swing they had to take to Maryland and to Rutgers there over the course of 3 or 4 days. But, you know, the tournament win was the first one in about 6 years. But just some thoughts and comments on, the state of the state of women's hoops.
Yeah, I'm really excited about what Terry was able to do under, you know, really challenging circumstances, coming in late in the game, so to speak, and inheriting a team with a lot of young players on it and trying to bring an identity to that team and all that. I thought she did a great job. I'll tell you, as I may have told you before, Kurt Miller, when he was still here, had told me that he was really concerned coming into the season because they had won five Big Ten games the year before, which was a significant improvement, and everybody was very excited about that.
Right.
And he said, Fred, you know, with these young kids, but especially given how tough our schedule is, we could be much, much better and win fewer games going into the year. That's something that Kurt had actually recognized without even the challenges of having a transition. So I think if you include the tournament game, Terry won five matches the year before, and I think that's a really accomplishment. I'm not trying to say I'm satisfied with mediocrity. I mean, nobody's happy with only winning five Big Ten games, but given where the women's basketball program had been and the steady climb, to not lose ground through that transition with all the young players and having to play all these beasts in the conference twice in a row, the Marylands and the Rutgers and Ohio States and so forth, I was really, really positive. So I'm excited about the team. Also, you know, she's just a good person. She and her entire staff were at Tom Crean's radio show yesterday, you know, kind of showing support there. And so it's a 24 sports, one team thing, and really appreciate Terry and her people doing that.
Is there still a possibility? I know, I think there are a couple of, there's the WNIT, and then our, I think there's the WBI, which enlist teams that have sub 500 records. And it's a shame here because Indiana fell one victory shy of the 500 mark in one of the top conferences in the country, Fred. Is there any possibilities out there? Are you hearing anything about a when everything gets drawn up after all the selection shows and the bids are out with the NCAA women that there might be something out there?
You know, I know there's one fairly recognized next tournament down from the WNIT, and candidly, Joe, I'm not sure where we are or aren't with that. I know it's
I didn't know
there.
If you'd heard anything.
I do not.
Well, we'll have plenty of time to embellish upon that, and hopefully it would be a well-deserved move to see the young ladies at least play a couple of more games in the postseason. So, hoops, we go to the United Center in Chicago Thursday, Big Ten Network at 6:30 against the Northwestern Wildcats. Just getting started. Behind the scenes tonight with Vice President Director of Athletics, Fred Glass. Back with more. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's.
This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith.
Welcome back, everybody. And a little drippy on the outside, but my gosh, it's warm. And the baseball bats we talk about, we listen to our spot. And Chris Lemonis' crew winning the home opener to date, 5-0 over Eastern Michigan. They'll be back in town for a single game tomorrow. And that ball game's currently in the top of the seventh. And if things hold on, Fred, this is going to be the 40th win in 48 games out at the BART since we opened the place up. And that's 83%. But, you know, over and above the winning, right from day one, the fans were there. All you had to do was build it, and they will come. And, you know, we're in the top 25 nationally in total attendance coming out of last year, almost 2,800. And, wow, a whole season of baseball in front of us and softball out at Andy Moore.
Yeah, nothing says spring like baseball starting, so I'm excited about that. I didn't realize that stat on our winning percentage. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so it's 4-0, or rather 5-0 in the seventh inning. Hey, by the way, single game and season tickets are still available by going to iuhoosiers.com or give the ticket office a call at 1-866-IU-SPORTS. And, boy, I tell you, Cal State Fullerton coming in this weekend. They just took care of sweeping Texas Tech down in Lubbock last weekend, so they move east, and that is traditionally one of the top NCAA baseball teams. This triple play burger scares me, Fred.
Joe, you're all about that, man.
No, that, man, I couldn't. Yeah, I'd eat that, and I need triple bypass surgery. That's what I'd
do. No, just won a game, you'd be okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, but anyway, they have – that's if we turn a triple play – first 20 fans at the third base concession stand will receive a free triple play.
But, Joe, I'd pay full price for that bad boy. That is
nice.
Strong.
That's a pound. Yeah. That's 2 pounds. That's a pound of bacon.
That's Roy's personal
is that right?
creation, too.
Well, they've got a whole bunch. That's why I want you to go to the website and dial in our baseball website there, because it's got all kinds of things. And now's the time to do it. Now's the time to think spring. Get the family out. It's a great time to be at the ballpark. Ditto for the softball team. Gosh, Michelle Gardner's had her team everywhere to getting ready to, you know, open up the home season, which they will do this weekend over at Andy Moore. So a little baseball, little softball at our two beautiful facilities. Hey, we got a lot to talk about. I do want to mention, since you and I have great fondness for that school up in the other part of the state, the Hoosiers, the Cream and the Crimson, leading the Governor's Cup, leaving winter and going into the spring 7.5 to 4.5. The tennis team will be up there, Lynn Loring's crew, on, I believe, Friday to take on. But both tennis programs, Jeremy Wertzman, a new hire for you and his first season. Both tennis teams are, I believe, 9-4.
They are, Joe, and it's great. I mean, starting with Jeremy, they've leaped up the national rankings. I think they're in the mid-20s somewhere, and we're not expected to do that well. And, boy, he fits like a glove. You know, he's kind of an old soul and just a great, great addition to our staff, and love Jeremy Wurtzman being there. And of course, Lynn Loring. I think his first year was when I was still on this campus.
Think you're right.
Yeah. So,
Coach, you're graduating class of
81.
81.
Yeah. I think he and I arrived on campus at the same time. I think he was 77. I was 77.
Yeah.
But he has 800 more wins than I do. But otherwise, we're kind of peas in a pod, and they're doing a great, great job with the women's team. I was over there watching them play Northwestern and the men play Northwestern this last weekend, and both played really, really well and against a really good team, came up a little short.
Well, and, you know, you don't lose a person that can score goals like Shea Fournier. But that being said, Barry King, who has been, you know, the organizer of this program, water polo, since day one. And Barry's now got, I think this is his 16th year as head coach of the Hoosiers. They got their conference rolling, the CWPA. Another great crowd on hand at the CBAC over the weekend, and they come away winning 2-1, beating Michigan and Hartwick, a couple of teams that they're going to have to deal with a little bit later here now when spring arrives.
Yeah, Michigan's one of those teams I love to beat, and especially in water polo, because they're the only other Big Ten team that has a team, and so they're a particular rival for us. But Barry's doing his typically great job and rebuilding, and you know they're in the top 20 already, and expecting really good things out of the water polo team.
You know, we had you on the last time we had you on, both of us had to skip the month of February due to commitments and what have you, but you were telling me that April 1st rather, is that still on board for the official, if you will, groundbreaking of our renovation project out at the Assembly Hall? How's that going?
It's going great, and it'll be the actual groundbreaking, not the official one. So it'll be kind of like our soft opening, and then we'll have a grand opening later on. So, Tom Morrison and his group assures me that we'll be rocking and rolling on April 1st, and then we are planning a full-blown university ceremonies groundbreaking, because it's a big, big deal, and that'll be probably a little later on in April. Stay tuned for that.
All righty. And while we were away, you hired a new field hockey coach.
Right. Amanda Janney. She's 14 years, I think, at Temple. Made the postseason every year. The 10 years before she was there, they had not had a winning season, so she knows how to turn around a program. Our good friend Kevin Clark is the athletic director over at Temple, and sang her praises, and so it was really nice to have somebody whose judgment I value help evaluate her. So AJ, as she likes to be called, I think is going to be a great, great addition to our overall staff. Proven winner, very student athlete oriented, and the kids have already responded really, really well to her.
Well, mentioning a lot of things going on, the spring football game set for a little 5 weekend, and this year's event, 18th of April. Does that sound right? That's a little 5 weekend, isn't it?
Well, I think the spring game is the weekend before Little Five.
Oh, okay.
And then I think Little Five, they're going to have like a scrimmage to tie in with the festivities, but not step on the race itself by having the spring game then.
Gotcha. So it's going to be exciting. What's the early tail of the tape season ticket-wise? Is that something of concern in March, looking ahead to August, September, October, November?
Yeah, we always benchmark from year to year, and we're doing fine, you know, year to year, and we're optimistic. We have an attractive home schedule, and I think a really fun team watch. So we're hoping our numbers will be pretty good there.
Well, I tell you what, on your auto row, we're going to talk to two of them here a little bit later, Traytez Kinnaird and also Sophie Gudemirth, who are headed to the NCAAs. They're in your spotlight, and you have two, a department to talk about and an employee of the month as we kind of wrap up March here.
Yeah, the department I want to highlight, Joe, is our facilities group that do everything, scoop to nuts, big and small, you know, and they're so dedicated to making our campus, our athletics campus, function and look terrific. And they're some of the most unsung heroes, though, because they're sort of literally and figuratively behind the scenes. Whole bunch of folks in there. Chuck Crabb, of course, maybe better known as voice of the basketball Hoosiers and track and field voice, but also John Harmon, our lighting guy.
Yeah.
Jay Arthur, who does a fabulous job, not only with track and field, but in a broader way in facilities. Nate Hill, Jimmy Jarvis, Bill Thomas, Ricky Williams, Bob Gilmore, who oversees all of our custodians and does a fabulous, fabulous job. So I love all those guys. And, you know, Jimmy and Nate have sat with me at basketball games. We try to recognize them for all they do. So picking a particular guy is really hard, but I'm going to have to go with Nate Hill as our employee in the spotlight. He is probably the MVP, not only the facilities group, but truth be told, maybe the entire department. Nate gets things done and takes a personal pride in everything he does. So I'm really excited to highlight and recognize Nate Hill, who just does a really, really great job for
us. Young man who went to Bloomington South, grew up in this city. Father, of course, is a staunch supporter of the IU women's basketball program, and, of course, his grandfather, the longtime circuit court judge for many, many decades here in Monroe County. Just a great, great family, and no surprise that Fred had those things to say about Nate and getting the job done. And all of these guys and gals that work endless hours. I mean, I'd hate to add it all up, because those are definitely the behind-the-scenes keys to success, if you will.
They're fabulous. And they go above and beyond the call of duty and work, work, work. And, you know, that's why we're playing baseball today. That's why we're doing all these things, because those folks make it happen.
Well, I tell you what, we'll talk a little indoor track. That's going on this weekend. I tell you what, Hoosiers can score some points now, and we'll talk with two very key components, both on the men's side and the women's side, and the veteran himself, Ron Helmer, in the house, and we'll talk a little indoor track and field and get ready for the outdoor season, and the Hoosiers ought to be quite volatile in that regard as well. And
absolutely,
we'll see you, my friend, in Chicago, and we'll see you here. Well, you can come in anytime, but we'll see you definitely sometime in April.
Excellent. Appreciate it, Joe. Encourage people to come out to the Yogis. It's dry in here, and they're serving beer.
Yeah, you got that right, and plenty of variety.
Plenty of beer. You can't drink them out of it.
No, plenty of variety to choose from, and the beer school will be starting here at 7 o'clock, I might add. And we thank Fred and the IU Department of Intercollegiate Athletics for sponsoring this part of Behind the Scenes with Fred Glass, live from Yogis. And when we come back, just getting started, Ron Helmer bringing in a couple of quality kids to compete in the NCAAs down in Fayetteville, Arkansas this weekend. It's indoor track and field, cream and crimson style. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogis. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Talk continuing live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Time to talk a big NCAA event, the Indoor Nationals at the Randall Tyson Track Center down in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And as we have done for years, every year that he has been the coach of the Hoosiers, indoor out, we always get a preview and talk a little about the winter season that is ending this weekend. Ron Helmer, great seeing you. And we're not talking so much a lot of numbers, but a lot of quality, and just some thoughts and reflections on the indoor season past and what lies ahead this weekend with some great kids that you're coaching down in Fayetteville.
Well, as you mentioned, it's not the numbers that we would typically like to be representing us at the national championships, but certainly the quality is there. And as we kind of recalibrated a bit our program and have gone back to work, and recruiting is good, and the energy is good, the work level is good, and there's going to be more good things to follow, but these guys are the ones we're going to focus on this weekend, and hopefully we're going to have some really good things happen down in Arkansas.
We're going to talk with Sophie Gudermuth here in a minute. She's from Leo, Indiana, and a red shirt, and along with Trey Tez Kinnaird, but it happens every year. It's been happening. It's been the rule rather than the exception, and it's been your outstanding assistant coach, Ron, Jake Wiseman, who continues to get the job done. He's got a little string going, especially in the pole vault, obviously. Six of the last 7 years, someone has been there representing Indiana U.
Well, he does a great job with our pole vaulters, you know, I think three different kids since I've been here have broken our school record, and Sophie on the women's side, Sophie being the latest to do it a couple times. And And so certainly he's done a great job there. But this year the added bonus is he's got two guys in the heptathlon qualify for the national championships as well, and he's the primary coach for our men multi-eventers. So, you know, I chipped in a little bit with Trey Tez, but Jake's carrying the load here, and we're glad that he's got that ability. We're glad he's got that passion, and certainly the consistency of his work is does not go unnoticed or appreciated.
I was hanging out at Gladstone. I was out to talking with Trey Tez earlier in the winter, about halfway through the indoor meet, and we were out there. And of course, you're talking about the heptathletes being Dylan Anderson, a young man who went to Bloomington North High School, and Stephen Keller. And if my memory serves me correct, and believe me, it leaves me from time to time. I think they're roommates too. Are they?
I don't know. They could very well be.
Are they?
That's the
Sophie?
That's what Sophie's telling us.
Yeah. So we heard some great stories there that we'll save for another radio show and probably off the air. But talk a little about. I mean, you talk about. I was talking to Dylan about it. Kind of a jack of all trades type thing when you get in the heptathlon. And here, I mean, Dylan was the first to establish some great numbers, Ron, and then Stephen following what he did, finishing third in the Big Tens, and right behind him was Dylan.
Yeah, those guys, it's a long, hard road in a lot of ways. You don't just get better in one event. You have to get better in seven events, and then you don't go just go do one event, you go do seven events. And whether it's the preparation and the development, which takes a long time, or whether it's just doing the actual event, which takes a long time, and you have no margin for error. You can't have one bad event, one bad day, one bad season. And so you just have to keep grinding and keep grinding and keep grinding. And that's what that event's about. And that's what those guys have done really, really well. And yeah, they put, you know, I think Stevens are number two all time, maybe at IU now on the all time list. And Dylan's probably
third all time.
So they're number two, three all time, and ranked number 10 and number 15 in the country right now. So outstanding job out of both those guys.
Now, and it'll be, how's the rest of the field looking at that particular event? How's the rest of the best?
It's good. There's international kids there from all over the world, but. You know what? There's 16 kids qualified, and we're two of them. So we're going to go down, and if they go in there and do what they've done to get there and compete hard, then I suspect the result's going to be really good.
Well, both young men, having met Stephen along with Dylan, as I mentioned, meticulous guys when it comes to training and getting things done at Gladstone over the course of the winter. There was a reason I wanted to bring the two young student-athletes and talented ones that we have shooting for NCAA crowns this weekend for a reason, because both are just outstanding. Talk a little about Sophie and the job she has done. You utilized her again in the northeastern part of the state, which has been a mecca for bringing, whether it be cross-country or track and field, men and women student-athletes with a lot of talent.
Well, there's a great history at Indiana University in track and field, and anytime you can finish your career knowing that you're the best ever in your event at Indiana, it's a pretty special thing. You know, in Sophie's case, it's the pole vault right now. She's the best ever we've had by a significant margin. And if you look at the number of performances that she's had that rank from all-time performances, she pretty well dominates a group that includes some great, great pole vaulters. So that's outstanding. Couldn't be happier for her. And then Trey Tez, as a true sophomore, is now a Big Ten champion, the school record holder by a clear margin, ranked number 15 in the country in his event, and on his way probably to having a great, great weekend. And again, it doesn't just happen. You know, you've got to have talent. You've got to be willing to work hard. You've got to prepare, but then you've also got to be able to engage the competition in the appropriate way and make good things happen when the pressure's on, and both of these guys have done a really good job with
that. Any question about that? And Coach Elmer talking about the 800-meter, you know, Trey Tez becoming the first indoor champion in that event since Jim White did it back in 88. That record or that a feat in that event on the books for 27 years.
You know, and we've done a number of things that for the first time in 25 or 30 or so years in this program, and that doesn't go unnoticed by me. I know what Indiana track and field is. That's why I'm here. The history, the tradition, and when you have those lapses in performance, it means that it's something that's probably really difficult to accomplish. And so every time we accomplish something like that, then it's certainly worthy of taking great notice and celebration and a source of great pride for anybody who loves Indiana track and field.
Coach Ron Helmer joining us. The Indoor Track and Field Championships, the NCAA Indoor Track and Field Championships, opening up this weekend down at Fayetteville, Arkansas. And we were alluding to Sophie Gudermuth, and Trey Tez will give you a shot here. But we always go, we have talent, ladies go first around here, son. So we're going to talk a little to Sophie. Hey, Sophie, thanks for coming in. I know you're just excited, but just some thoughts and comments about how your career has kind of evolved from the time you were redshirted as a freshman to where you are and where you're going.
I think a lot of it has to do with, like Helmer mentioned, like the success of the pole vault group before, and just like being able to like compete and also practice with all the girls who are doing so well. And especially this year, I've always liked to live my life like kind of in faith. Like I take each day as it comes, and you really have to like just learn to trust the fact that like everything happens for a reason, in my opinion, and it's all gonna work out for the best. And I kind of approach track the same way. Like sometimes we might wonder like why we do certain workouts, but you just have to learn to trust the coaches, and like really believe that what they're doing is gonna work out for the best. Which for me and Trey Tez right now, it has.
Well, no question, and you talk about the coaching you're getting, supervised, of course, by Ron, but, too, we talked a little about Coach Wiseman and the influence he has had on so many athletes in the program, but in particular with the pole vaulters. Talk about the Sophie, your relationship and how he has really taken you under his hand and made you on the verge of being maybe a national champion.
Ever since I came here, I think that Jake has been a really, really good coach. He's like half the reason that I came here, probably more than half. And I just, he's been a good coach because even when I didn't think I was committed to school, he just like encouraged me, and he even said, well, if you decide to change your mind, you're always so welcome at Indiana University. And just like knowing that was really comforting. And I don't know, he's just been a really good coach and super encouraging and positive, even like when things weren't going the best.
Talk a little about that recruiting. Now, you went to Leo High School, and always quite strong in cross country and track and field, be it boys or girls on the high school level. Talk a little about the recruiting process and how that all evolved and how did you wind up at IU?
Well, actually, when I was being recruited, I was verbally committed to a different school. And like I said, when Jake found out, or when he thought that I wasn't coming here, like I said, he just said, you're still welcome here if you change your mind. And then when I decided to change my mind, the other coach, he didn't really have the best reaction. And so just like knowing that even like when things are going bad, that Jake is going to react in a positive way was like, it made me want to come here even more and like be under his coaching.
Sophie Gudermuth joining us, and well, your sis Nina, identical twins.
Yep.
Who came out from you? Who's the oldest between the two of you?
I am by 2 minutes.
By 2 minutes, mm-hmm. Huh? Now Nina was on the team, but she experienced some injury problems.
Yes.
But she was a pole vaulter as well.
Yeah, she was.
So coach went after both Gudermuths, huh? Two
he,
for the price of one
both,
in the same
yep.
same event, huh?
Yeah.
So how
be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for.
You know, back a couple of years ago when we talk about that red shirt, and I always like to talk to the student athletes because it is something that Ron has done from day one, is to redshirt his cross country squad, is track and field, to give you that proven year. What did it do for you? How did that get you ready, the redshirt year, as you move the process forward to where you are today?
Well, my first redshirt year was outdoor season my freshman year, and I'm kind of happy I got it out of the way then because outdoor is like my favorite season. And also as a freshman, I didn't have as much experience under my belt, so that just like gave me all that time to like continue practicing and getting better before I actually start competing again.
And, you know, back to Coach Wiseman, you know, if there were the A, B's, and C's to follow his instruction to you, does it start with the mental aspect?
I know a lot of it has to do with mental attitude. Like, if you go into a practice or into a competition thinking that it's not going to be good or you're not going to win, then chances are you're probably not going to win. And, like, Helmer talks to us a lot about it. Like, you need to go into competition thinking, I'm going to win this. And for me, like, even for the meets, all the ones I thought, I'm going to go into this meet and I'm going to beat this girl, even if she's jumped higher than me, those are the ones that end up winning. So it's like having a positive attitude and a positive, like, mental attitude. Like, it really does get you far.
How neat is it to be the record holder as a junior right now? I mean, what was it, 14 feet 3 and finishing second at the recent Big Tens?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. Like, coming in as a freshman, I didn't think I would end up being record holder for IU. But being there now, it's awesome.
No, I think you've broken it, what, three different times? So
yeah.
Onward and upward. Talk a little about the competition. Have you had a chance to kind of scope who all is going to be there in the event and, where you kind of size up going in?
Well, right now, I think I'm ranked seventh. The girl who's ranked third is 5 centimeters higher, so about 2 inches. And then there's a couple, like, outlayers there who have jumped over 15 feet, so it'll be really cool, like, competing against them. And I feel like competing against girls who have been jumping that well will just, like, motivate me to do better myself.
Well, it sounds great, and, we wish your sis best, down the road, whatever she pursues, she's going to get a great education here at Indiana.
What are
you studying, Sophie?
I'm a fitness specialist right now. And I'm going to go to grad school for physical activity, fitness, and wellness, hopefully next year.
Well, the weather's getting warmer. You just said it was your favorite time of year. What are your expectations of yourself as you look at the outdoor season coming up?
I think that coming this strong out of the indoor season, I'm confident that I'll do even better outdoors, because I feel like everybody always does better outdoors. And that's always been my best season as well, so I think it's only going to get better.
We'll take 14-3 and improve it the best you can, and the best of luck to you this weekend in the event. Sophie Gudermuth joining us, and sitting right next to her is one of the fastest young men in the country right now, and he is getting faster, Trey Tesconaird, who, as we mentioned, it had been a while since Jim White won the 800 meters, 27 years? And Tretez, we haven't spoken since the middle part of the winter. Talk about that particular event, Big Ten champion. How does that feel going into the NCAAs again for you?
It feels amazing. I feel like it was a really great confidence booster. I feel like a different runner now, I guess, knowing that I have a Big Ten title under my belt. And I know there's a bunch more to prove, and I know I'm in really good shape to run really fast. So it's just getting out there and competing with the best guys in the NCAA, and I think I'm going to be able to hold my own this weekend.
You know, you and I had a chance to gather, and an interesting story that really needs to get retold again. You and your mom down at you came out of Ballard High School in Louisville. Butler High School, excuse me. And, yeah, you got. I don't want to get the wrong high school there. You guys are rivals down there. But it was all about cross-country, and the first time you ever ran a cross-country meet, you were in shorts and tennis shoes?
Yes, sir. I guess it was my sixth grade year. I was playing basketball. Like, that was my main sport. And my mom wanted me to go out for track because my dad was, like, a track star in high school. And I absolutely just threw a tantrum because I didn't want to run. I just wanted to play basketball, and she just told me to just give it a try. So the first practice we go out, I'm thinking it's track, and I get to the practice and all I see is grass.
Yeah.
And I was like, this does not look like a track. But we had one practice before our first meet, and I decided to run in the first meet, and I had Jordan tennis shoes on and long basketball shorts. And we get to the, I guess with like 200 to go, I take off, and I'm leading the whole race. And about 5 meters from the finish line, I trip and fall over my Jordans and ended up getting fourth place in the race. So I was pretty devastated about that. But my seventh grade year, my former middle school coach called me. Well, he called my mom and was saying that he was there at the meet where I tripped and fell and got fourth. And he wanted me to come out again, this time for cross country. Like, I knew what I was getting myself into.
Yeah.
And he said he can make this kid a star. Like, he could go far with this. So I decided to give it a try, and I ended up winning a lot of races my seventh grade year. And once my eighth grade year came around, I won middle school state, and I won a national championship for the 1500. and I guess the rest follows.
Yeah, the rest is history, and it's great history that you're writing right now. Sizing up the competition this weekend for you, how's the 800 meters look on paper?
On paper, it looks pretty fast. It's one of the fastest years we've had in a while since the Robbie Andrews era, where he ran, like, I guess it was like 145 indoors. So we have a bunch of guys that are at 146, 147, and coming in, I'm ranked at 15th and 148. But I know I'm way better than that right now. My training has proved it, and I'm just ready to go out there and make a statement to a lot of people, because then again, it's good running fast, but we've been training all year to just kind of stay in that first place, second place position, and I feel like I've accomplished that already up to this point. So I guess the goal coming in is just kind of just to stay that way and just keep myself in contention. If I can keep myself in contention, then everything else will follow.
You know, and everything's kind of evolving the way you want it. First of all, you had a taste of meddling, being an NCAA last year and being part of that distance medley relay team. Also, you were in the junior national championships and the worlds. And what was it, a one? Did you get it down below 48? You got it to 147.
Yes,
and changed, didn't you?
Yeah, 147.13.
So you've taken, you know, not baby steps, they're quick steps on up the ladder, but that competition certainly has strengthened your confidence.
Definitely, because I guess the end of my freshman year, we had regionals outdoor to qualify for nationals, and I probably ran one of the worst races of my IU track career there. Didn't end up making the NCAA meet, so I guess my first thought was just to kind of give track a break and not run over the summer and just focus on cross country. But Coach Helmer encouraged me to run over the summer, and he said it was going to make me a better runner. And I trusted him because he's been around for a very long time, and he's coached a lot of successful guys in my event. So I ended up running over the summer. Had another disappointing race in Tennessee, but my training was coming along really well. And I guess it was a week before USA Juniors. I had a really good workout, and that was the I guess that was the factor of me getting ready for the championships. Uh-huh. And came into USA Championships and got through the prelim rounds pretty easy, and then got to the final and ended up winning it for the USA. And I felt comfortable. I didn't feel like I was going all out or anything like that. So I pretty much knew I was ready for World Juniors. And I guess it was another week before World Juniors. I had a really good workout, and it was even better than the one before USA. So yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to run with the best guys in the world right now. Ended up holding my own in the prelim rounds, ended up coming in with the fastest time for the finals, and placed sixth in the world for my age group. So I was pretty excited about that, knowing that a Kenyan ran 143 in the race.
Holy cow. Wow. Well, I tell you what, you know, you're on your way up the ladder, young man, and exciting. Do you prefer, like Sophie was mentioning, she would prefer, well, you know, she kind of rolls with the punches. She's in indoor, but she likes outdoor. You like the outdoor aspect? Are you getting used to the indoor races?
I definitely like outdoor, because indoor is where we're mostly like hitting our, I guess we're hitting it pretty hard indoor. Like, we're not having like taper weeks or anything like that. So we're just basically running hard every week and then coming to race, which I think that'll develop a great mental aspect, because once you get to outdoor and we start tapering, you'll start feeling better. And when you're feeling better, you're running faster. But indoor, you're trying to focus on hitting it hard every week and still managing to run fast. And I think that plays a big role in becoming a great runner. Like, you have to perform every day. Like, every day you have to perform and just take it for what it is. If you go out and perform and you get beat, then that guy might just be better than you that day. But just knowing that you give yourself a chance every day will pay off in the long run.
Boy, I tell you, great words of wisdom to live by, and you certainly are fulfilled with that, young man, along with God-given talent and speed. And Freitas, we wish you the very best down in Fayetteville, and have a great spring season as well.
Thank you.
Freitas Kinnaird, and also Sophie Gudermuth. And Ron, just in closing, you know, hey, don't count these kids out. You just listen to them. I mean, you know them better than I, but, boy, it's just heartening for me to hear these.
We've had a really nice history of when we get kids prepared for this meet. There's only 16 people per event there. You've got to be really good to work your way into the meet. We've had a really nice history of going to that meet then and performing and doing what we've prepared to do. And I expect it's going to look just like that this weekend with these guys.
Hey, best of luck, and we'll see you. Have you back in. Look at the spring outdoor season as well, because I know you got some fireworks planned and a lot of your student athletes, and the stable is ready to fire. So have a great trip down to Arkansas, and with kids like this, boy,
yep.
That's what keeps me doing what I'm doing and you doing what you're doing, and that's teaching
yes,
these kids. Ron Hilmer, everybody, and Sophie Gudermuth and Trey Tesconaird headed to the NCAAs. Back to close things out, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. That'll do it for this week. Our shortstop employee of the week is Laura Hopkins, doing a real great job. And before long, the choo-choo train going to be out there. They're renovating the place there at the corner of 10th and Smith. So roll on by there. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Don't forget, In the Zone, Dave and Glass, your calls tomorrow night at 6. Indiana Northwestern coming up Thursday on the big screen here at Yogi's. And hopefully plenty more games in Chicago. Don't forget our three-hour NCAA selection show live 6 o'clock on Sunday. Indiana baseball a winner 5-3. They're in the ninth inning, 4 o'clock tomorrow. Same bad channel, the BART, huh? Until next time, from Yogi's, that's it. You've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WTCL. Good evening, everyone, from Yogi's Grill and Bar.